What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with two chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Oh, not so fast. It's actually Conduits of Trouble time. Zolgad and Star Tribune sports a columnist, Chip Scoggins. Chip Scoggins. So we talked last Thursday. I think we've been hinting around the fact for a couple weeks now that Ryan Saunders might be in trouble as the Wolves coach, but we both did not think there'd probably be any change coming. I think we agreed until after the season was completed. So what was your reaction after the Wolves lost at the Knicks on Sunday that not only was Ryan Saunders fired, but that his successor, Chris Finch, was hired basically immediately?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised, I guess, that he was fired. I thought it would happen at the end of the season. I didn't think there was any chance he was coming back next year. And if you were going to make an in-person change, I thought it'd be the All-Star break, not a one game into a road trip.
Yep.
I was really surprised that they named his replacement 5 minutes later from another team. And, you know, I think a lot of us have written that, and I'm sure you have, and gotten response from fans to saying, well, who cares, you know, how the timing and all that. And, you know, my response would be, okay, let's say you get fired, and then your boss has your replacement an hour later. Don't you think he'd be a little bit bothered by that from another company?
Yeah.
You know, don't you think that would...
Yeah, Chip, we got someone from the Pioneer Press. Thanks a lot for your service.
Yeah, an hour later, I think that would bother me. And so I don't like the way it was handled. They can tell me all they want that it came together in an hour or whatever. That does Russ really expect us to believe that he woke up and decided to fire Ryan on Sunday? The Raptors gave him permission, and then he called Finch after the game and said, "Hey, you want to be our coach? Come on." As my dad always says, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night.
Yeah,
this has been going on for a while behind her back, and it's foul. You know, it's la la land that they think that people are going to believe that this came together so quick. But, Judd, I mean, Ryan was overmatched. I mean, we've been saying it. Yes, he had obviously difficult circumstances with the injuries and COVID and all that. But even saying that, they had 7 wins. And they were blowing leads, and his substitution patterns were weird, and playing Rubio all the time at the end. So it was, I mean, he was going to get fired. It was just a matter of when. So that didn't surprise me.
Why do you think, to backtrack on your point about Gerson, why do you think that teams feel so emboldened, Chipper, to just completely lie? Like, it's not even, I feel like they're, and I could be wrong here, I feel like there used to be an effort to sort of, they were lying, but they were making an effort to try and convince you. I feel like now we've crossed the threshold to, okay, here's what I'm going to tell them. And I don't care what they think, because you're right. Like, for us to think that basically Gerson's best pal in life fell out of the sky on Sunday, you know, Gerson's watching Knicks Wolves like the rest of us.
Yeah.
And the Wolves, they're struggling. And Gerson just picks up the phone for the first time in months and dials up his buddy Chris Finch. You know, well, like, why?
Yeah, I think Johnny Kay reported that he saw them talking, because they played the Raptors, what, 3 days before or 2 days
Friday
before?
Night. Whatever it was? 2 days.
Yeah, Friday night.
Yeah, 2 days. At Target Center.
And he saw those two talking. So you can tell me it wasn't brought up at all?
Was there a contract signed in front of Krasinski, too? Hey, Gerson, turn around so I can use your back as a table for this contract I'm about to sign.
My guess is, Judd, they think that that's just what people will believe. But of the people that are paying attention, Wolves fans, what percentage of them do you think actually believe the timeline they laid out? 5%. I mean, there's always yeah. some people be like, yep. yeah, that sounds plausible.
Yep. I bet you're right.
5, maybe 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, the rest of us are like, come on, you know, don't play us for fools. I mean, just, I would rather you just say, you know what, I'm not going to get into that.
Yes. That's exactly.
Sit there and try to peddle a lie.
That's exactly what I thought too. Just say, you know what, I really can't talk about the timing here, and I'm sorry, but I can't. As opposed to, yeah, it all came together. You know, I love this whole thing. It all came together Sunday night. And then Finch, who I don't think is probably great at lying himself, then yeah. Finch says, yeah, it came together Sunday night, and right after it did, I got on the phone with Carl.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so hey, Carl, it's Chris Finch. I just got hired. You're not going to believe this, but when I woke up this morning, I had no idea. And now I'd like to talk to you and assure you that things are going to actually be put in that you'll, you know, I mean, it's just, it is hilarious.
And here's my theory, Judd, because typical protocol is you promote somebody from the staff and they finish out the year. And Gerson was asked about David Vanderpool in particular, because he's probably the most high profile and the guy everybody assumed would get it if you fired Ryan.
Yep.
And he basically said, yeah, we respect all those guys, but have you seen our record? And our defense is terrible too, so we're not promoting anyone. My theory on that was, if he would have promoted Vanderpool and this team would have showed any signs of improvement down the stretch.
Yep.
I don't think they would have shown like leaps and bounds of improvement. You know, if you get Russell back and Towns is healthy and they're playing and they're going to win games, if they showed any improvement, there's no chance you could have not given him that job after the season.
Correct.
You would have been, there have been such pressure because you would have a black head coach.
Yep.
Or interim coach who a team had played well, shown life, players like him. What do you think the pressure would have been on him, like on Gerson, to say, you know what, that's all fine and well, but I got my guy in Toronto that it wouldn't have happened. So I think he wasn't going to take the risk of that team playing well under Vanderpool on an interim basis because this is his guy. He wanted him 2 years ago. And now it's even more obvious that his hand was forced to take Ryan. You know, I mean,
I heard on Wolves telecast that Gerson at the top of his list was Ryan Saunders.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, and here's the thing, okay, Chip, I will defend Gerson on what you just said, because you know what? He finally gets his chance, and he gets it with a franchise that has been just off the rails for how long, right? But there's no way that as he came up through the ranks and aspired to one day run a basketball team. There is no way that, like, in the right or left-hand desk drawer for Gerson in Houston, he didn't have a list, the list of coaches. Yeah. And Ryan Saunders wasn't on that list.
But, and here's the thing, Judd, and I think we've both said this, and I've said it repeatedly, that even though Ryan clearly now, in hindsight, shouldn't have got the job, was overmatched by it, I thought at the time it was the right thing because Carl wanted it. That's what Towns wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in a situation where the Tibbs thing was a disaster. You didn't know, you know, where the thing was going. Towns was probably annoyed by it. And they couldn't run the risk of having him say, you know what, I'm going to be like Anthony Davis. I want to go to L.A. or wherever. And if it meant making him happy, and Towns was that day, I was there. I mean, he was ecstatic that Ryan got the job and where they were going, and he was all bought into Gerson's message. And so I understood why they did it.
Yep.
So it's kind of hypocritical to come back and say it was the wrong thing to do. He should just gone with his, you know, the guy he wanted then. But it was probably pretty clear that it was going to be a short leash for Ryan. And if this thing just bottomed out, he was going to turn to pivot to Fitch as fast as he could.
Yeah. And I think to what you're saying as well, Chipper, I think it was important too that Kat could see that there was still dysfunction there. And what have we seen in these first two games with Chris Finch? We have seen, and this is the way it should be, that the one directive that Finch has told these players is everything goes through Kat, which it should.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think that Kat probably did want his friend to be named coach at that time. And it took a stretch of really bad basketball and, you know, coaching that was certainly questionable to now come back and say, okay, and now if I'm Kat, as far as touches and as far as involvement in the offense with Chris Finch, I'm ecstatic. So it does, it all sort of does track to why this move was made now and why Kat is probably, and look, I mean, the fact that Chris Finch was on the phone to Kat on Sunday night, and I'm, and you, here's, this has not been broached, but I am pretty sure that Gerson Rosas probably approached Kat in the last couple of weeks and said, do you like this?
Well, it's funny because Kat said, I was at home and I found out eating pizza or with my dad. I found out just like you guys did. Again, not buying it. I mean, I would be stunned.
Yeah, he wouldn't be eating pizza. He was it was probably, you know, steak.
Yeah. And it, I mean, do you think under any circumstance, Gerson is going to fire the guy that Towns wanted mid-season like a stunner like that and not run it by Towns?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not buying it. I mean, now you can argue whether Towns should have that kind of authority that, you know, they have to run management decisions by him, but, and you know, I'm sure Towns is happy that, okay, everything's coming through me and stats. Cause he's desperate to become a superstar, right? He wants to be in that classification, but guess what? If he don't start winning, it's not going to matter. I mean, he's not going to get the respect he thinks he's due or he wants. If they're one of the worst teams, I don't care how much he scores and rebounds. It's just, they're going to look at him as, you know, a guy has a lot of stats, but on a crummy team and can't elevate his team.
Chipper, what's your best guess off the piece that you wrote about this? What's your best guess now? Because it is going back and telling Glenn that we are to a certain point, at least starting again. What's your best prediction about what this means for Gerson? Not as far as the pressure, because we all agree on that, but what sort of what the timetable is now in going with a new coach and buying himself some more time potentially.
Well, I don't think it really buys him. I think it buys him this season because it's, I don't know, you can't just plug in a coach from an entirely different staff who, you know, midway through the season think it's just going to click right away. I mean, you don't have a training camp. He needs all that if he's going to change anything like really substantially. But in some ways, I don't think it changes the timetable because, Judd, this is his guy. He interviewed no one else. I mean, there was no traditional interview process where you interviewed five guys and you picked the wrong one, you know, where that might buy you some time. This is, he said, screw everything else. I got my guy. This is what we're going to do. So we're winning right now.
Yep.
And I think it elevates pressure on him because he's already gotten blowback from people because he didn't promote Vanderpool, who is black. He didn't have any kind of interview process with diverse candidates. And so, and you know, this is his guy. He went with it. He's trusting his gut. And so I think, to me, the timeline doesn't change. You better start winning, you know, and you better figure out the roster.
I mean, you're right, but you know,
I'm not saying it has to, I don't think
D'Lo's still out
in the NBA finals next year, but
right.
I mean, Judd, at some point they got to start being a legitimate team. I mean, they're just.
I know. It's maddening. It's absolutely.
You're wasting. Here's the thing, Judd. You are wasting Towns' career at this point.
Yep.
And he's flawed, right? I mean, he doesn't play defense. You know, actually, he's been better this year defensively, but he's still not great. Yep. I don't know that he plays hard all the time. You know, we don't see like. The best of Kat, like we saw, that Knicks game, you know, I thought he was great that game. Fourth quarter is outstanding. Yeah. So we don't see that all the time, but I mean, he's a unique talent. I mean, you know, I mean, he's offensively, he just does things, you know, you don't see with his inside outside. So, but here's the thing. It's like, what year is this for him? I mean,
five.
And what does he have to show for it? You know, one playoff appearance.
Basically nothing.
Basically nothing.
A disappointing playoff series against the Rockets. That's what he has to show for it.
Yeah, and so that's why I felt like, hey man, you know, the clock's ticking here. You know, they got to at some point. You don't want to waste a franchise, you know, transformational player like that his entire career.
I agree, and the clock is also ticking on Towns, Gerson, and in some ways Finch with this one. I think this is the last chance with Towns.
Well, how many coaches are you going to go through with a guy?
Right, exactly. You know, but I'm saying, as far as selling him, at some point in time, he is going to say, I can no longer do this. I can't operate this way. Yeah. Fair or not. I mean, look, he takes fault too. But that being said, I think this is the last chance that this team has with Towns to say, here's how we get it right, finally. And if it doesn't work this time, I don't know, man. I don't know.
To be honest with you, you may feel differently on me. If they happen to get a top three pick, I'm taking a point guard, man. And I would try to move Russell. And I know this whole plan was predicated on Russell and Towns playing together and their buddies and the pick and roll and all that. But I'm just not a Russell guy right now. I mean, I just don't know. I just don't like his game.
Yep. No, you know? I don't disagree. Well, how does the modern game? So Finch is known as an offensive guy, right? Like he is McVay with the Rams. He is a guy who's going to come in here and install a system that should work. I guess my question then off of that, though, is how does D'Lo's game fit that style? Like Towns, I totally get it, right? Ball goes through Towns. Towns is really talented. He's got a great outside shot. He can play in the post. Lots of things. How does D'Angelo's game, though, fit what Finch wants to do?
Well, and here's the thing, and this is why I think I would probably try to get me a different point guard, because Russell's going to take a lot of shots. Towns is going to take a lot of shots. As Anthony Edwards goes along in his career, he's going to take a lot of shots.
And I want him to as well. And I want Towns to.
I want Malik Beasley taking a number of shots because he's their best shooter.
Yep.
I mean, that's a lot of shots, Judd.
I mean, I know.
I think I'd rather have a point guard that sets people up, distributes, plays fast. And the other thing is, Finch can be the greatest offensive X and O guy in the world. That ain't their problem.
Yeah.
If they're never going to fix their defense, I don't care if they score 130, they're going to lose 135 to 130. I mean, they're horrendous defensively. And so
they don't care a lot of times.
Vanderbilt is supposed to be the guy that fixes that. Clearly hasn't happened, you know, so that's probably I think contributed a little. I think my original point on why he didn't get it was the biggest factor, but they're atrocious defensively. And I don't really see a whole lot of improvement. Do you?
No, I don't know that.
I think Towns has gotten better.
Yeah. I don't know that as a group they really cared that much about it.
Well, then it's.
I mean, is Beasley going to play defense?
Conversation in 2 years from now.
But is Beasley going to crack down and play defense? Because I don't see that.
No, Russell. No. Like, Anthony Edwards is not very good right now,
and he might improve.
Here's the problem. Like Okogie, he's unplayable because he can't. I mean, he's your best defensive player, but he's atrocious offensively.
And guys like Culver and Okogie, Vanderbilt, Chip, they work their asses off, and I appreciate
but they're
that.
Limited,
exactly. Yeah,
I mean, ideally, you have two way players. You know, they have one way players. That's what they have.
Yep.
You know, I mean, the modern NBA, you need two way players, and I just don't see a lot of these guys on the roster. They're either really good at defense and terrible at offense, or really good at offense and no interest in defense. And so, I don't know. I mean, they can. I mean, how many coaching changes have they had here in the last 12 years?
Ten coaches in the last 15 years, I think, is the stat. It's incredible.
I mean, has any team? I can't imagine their team can rival that. Right? 10 coaches in 15 years?
Hell no! I'm sure they don't. I mean, that's as bad as it gets.
It's
a joke. Do you remember, Chipper, Gerson's introductory presser? The kids are there. He's got the suit and tie on. He looks like he's had a great night of sleep. He's shaven. He's chipper as can be. It's just a happy day. And then contrast that to the pictures of Monday in Milwaukee with Chris Finch, where it looked like a hostage video. It looked like, hey, Gerson, if you're okay, blink twice. Unbuttoned shirt. He looked like he hadn't slept in weeks. It literally looked like, oh, my God. I mean, that's what this job does to people.
It's like the before, after Barack Obama, right?
Where he was, yes, it's a president.
Gray-haired Obama. Yes, I think that job probably ages you. You know, I don't know if he thought it was going to be, when you take that job, you have to know, okay, this is going to be hard, right? This is probably going to be worse than anything I thought it was going to be. But other than getting rid of Wiggins and his contract, like how many things I texted somebody at work the other day, like, what do they do well? Tell me one thing that the Timberwolves do well. Other than blow lead. Not negatively, but just what do they do well?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of right now. Nothing really.
I mean,
nothing. What? What is it?
You can't even find one area. Well, someone said that they have a lot of assists, which.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they share the basketball. Actually, you know what, Towns? I want him sharing the ball less.
Yeah.
I just want him to, you are the best player on the floor for your team. Do not pass to Ricky Rubio ever again.
And he's going to shoot it now. Like what? Even Bolden.
Can you explain that to me?
No.
And I know he's scoring some points, but I don't want to hear that. The Knicks game is the poster child for the new Ricky. And it's this, okay? He has a really good scoring game, and he is knocking down shots first, second, even into the third quarter. And I'm sitting there watching the game, and I told Dawn this. I said, he's going to get to the late in the fourth quarter, and he's going to be emboldened to take a shot, and he's going to miss. And sure enough, he did exactly that. Who allowed Ricky to shoot?
Especially with as flat as that shot is.
I know.
I've never seen a player had left arc on a shot than him.
I am not one to rip shots, drive. But that's a bad shot.
That is a line drive. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and the fact that he gets such valuable minutes. Now, obviously, when Russell comes back, I think that'll change. But
play McLaughlin.
Yeah, I mean.
I actually like him as a little point guard.
I do, too. And there's just not the trust factor that Ricky has for whatever reason, because I don't think he's earned it this year. Maybe in the past life he has. But this year, I mean, it's just. And a $17 million judge. I don't know. I mean, they get the trade deadline coming up, right? Are we going to see more the mad scientist approach by Gerson? Is he going to?
How much more can you do?
I don't know.
Okogie goes or Culver goes? Seriously, I mean, how much more?
Boy, could you imagine if you traded Culver and gave up? I mean, I don't think he's a player. But man, what an indictment on your drafting!
You traded up to get a player that you didn't get, and then you just took Culver. And I mean, hard worker. I'm sure he's a really good guy, but
yeah,
the sixth pick?
Yeah, huh. I know. It's a mess. And so, I do think going back to Finch, I really don't know, like realistically, how much we can glean from the rest of this year from him because. Yep. Can you really make that many changes, you know, because they don't practice really, right? I mean,
yeah, they
cancel a lot or shoot around.
He told him to get Cat the ball, and I think that's basically the change he makes.
Yeah, and probably, I guess you could change, like, rotations and substitution patterns and stuff like that, but in terms of, like, style-wise, I don't really know how much you can do.
All right, Twins. Royce Lewis, my man. Royce, the excitement is high. The Twins are about to start spring training. The first overall pick of the 2017 draft reports and says, my knee hurts a little bit. And they're like, oh, okay. We'll examine it, MRI for it. We might find something that's going to keep you out for a week or two. That's normal. And it's a torn ACL.
I know, poor kid. Have we been able to clarify... Did he do it falling on the ice, or did that exacerbate it? Or did that just make it so he noticed it more?
All I've seen about it was that he was having some problems, and then in Texas he slipped on the ice, and it got worse. But, I mean, clearly—
I'm officially worried, Judd. I mean, this is going to be 2 years without competitive baseball for him.
And my guess is we're going to have a strike with the big league clubs in 2022, Chip.
Lovely. Thanks,
you. So now you got 3 years. Well, he could go play in St. Paul. I think the minor leagues are going to play. But, yeah, no,
so
you are.
Strike, do the minors still play?
I believe they do. I'm not positive.
Okay. Well, even so, and I know he's young, so it's not like he's, in prime of his career or anything like that. But still, man, you take 2 years off from competitive baseball, and it wasn't like he was setting the world on fire you know, in the minors.
Nope.
I would say I'm officially worried for him. And it's, you know, it stinks. You know, they went through it with Buxton, you know, the injuries and just kind of stops and starts. And you never, I think last year, maybe the year before, we saw glimpses of what, you know, the guy that we thought we were going to see forever. But, yeah, it's a tough blow for him and a bad way to start spring training. Although, I mean, realistically, he wasn't going to get up to the bigs this year, I wouldn't think, right?
I agree with that. I mean, maybe late, but
hope you. I think in best case scenario he gets a AAA, but I don't think anybody was counting on him and playing big leagues. So, but it's just you know, you're just another year off of baseball where you're not, you know, playing competitively.
Yeah, 2 years, but 2 years of not playing. Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm called panic by Patrick. I'm with you.
That's right.
I'm panicking.
I feel, you know. I don't think it's going to affect the Twins on the field, but it's disappointing for a guy that you have high hopes for.
So the Twins, to me, are going to be extremely competitive with the Sox for a potential third consecutive AL Central title, Chip Scoggins, okay?
Yes.
But here's my panic. Here's the one thing that makes me a little bit concerned as spring training starts. It's very, very simple, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Name me how many things about the Twins, at least from a process of what you have in the field, how many things that you can absolutely count on? Because Buxton, you're crazy if you now say, hey, I see 140. And here's the final point. Here's the thing I saw in the Star Tribune that I'd really hate. Josh Donaldson in his 30s, okay, has chronic calf problems. And he is, and Chip, we've covered these stories before, not in baseball, but I mean, we have written these stories before. I'm changing my approach to how, in his case, I run.
He runs. I know. I read that. I'm like, oh boy.
I got underneath the kitchen table at that point. My God. I mean, no.
I don't even know how you change the way you run.
Well, and in the heat of the, you're at second base. There's, you know, one out or something in the ninth. And you're not pinch run for it, Chip, and there's a single to right. Are you really, as Tony Diaz windmills you around, are you going to think, hold on a second here?
I would say Tony Diaz better have a stop sign every time. I don't care
exactly
what the situation is.
I digress. Anyway, that was my.
I would say, all you know, like a spring training, it's always based on your best case scenario in your head, which I think for this team, a lot of it is health. Right? Like the best, like if Buxton's healthy, you know, he's a really good player. If Donaldson's healthy, he's a really good player. I think you know what you're going to get from Polanco. I think you pretty much know what you're going to get from Kepler, right?
I'd hope to get more than you got last year, to be honest with you.
I think he'll be probably in the middle, you know, I don't think he's as bad as he was last year. But he's going to hit home runs. Sano's going to hit home runs. He's going to strike out a lot. Garver's an interesting one.
Yep.
I don't think we're going to see what we saw 2 years ago, but I do think the injuries probably got in his head last year, and he's one of those Donaldson types where he thinks about every mechanical thing with the swing, and he probably got out of whack. So I think he's going to have a bounce back. You're right. It's all about injuries with them. If those guys are healthy, I think the lineup and the defense is going to be pretty darn good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pitching, I think, is going to be solid.
Mm-hmm.
Rotation and bullpen to me is a wild card. I don't really know there at all.
Yeah, and I guess what concerns me is Buxton, Donaldson, Sano, who I just don't know. Garver for sure concerns me. Can Kepler bounce
in terms
back?
Of health or just bouncing back?
In terms of both. Well, in JD's case and in Buxton's case, health. In Sano's case, at the plate in 2020, he was atrocious.
He's going to strike out a lot and hit some far home runs.
Yeah, Kepler took steps back. So I guess my question is, between health concerns and production concerns, I think that we say, well, they'll be fine probably, but we don't know that. And there's a long way towards saying, yeah, but he's shown this, and saying, well, actually, he's shown it once in a while.
Do you buy last year being so short and weird as any excuse?
I think I can buy it for affecting some players, but I don't buy it across the board. I think that Sano has like Kepler.
Don't you think that probably affected him?
It probably did. And Sano just has to have, I mean, well, we need to know what
Sano
the
is what he is.
But what's the approach? Yeah, but I mean, you can't strike out constantly. It's one thing to say, you know what, guys strike out lots now. I totally get that. It's another to strike out all of the time and go on like these 2 week hot stretches where your stands fall in love with you because it's like, you see how good he is? Well, yeah, he's great for 2 weeks. I need more than 2 weeks. This is the big leagues.
Yeah, do you realistically see any kind of like dramatic change in him though? I think he's going to be a feast or famine player his whole career, Judd. I mean, I just don't think. Now, he may cut down a little bit, but I think he's always going to be just a really high strikeout guy.
Oh, I think he will be too, but that doesn't mean he has to strike out constantly.
And, every other time. Yeah.
And again, my question is this. When he came up in, 2015? Is that correct?
Yeah.
He had at the plate, he struck out a lot, but he had an approach at the plate. Like he had a, like you said, oh, wow, this guy's got it together as far as he's going to strike out, but he doesn't look like he's completely lost. Last year, he looked completely lost.
Yeah, and then if he happened to run into one, he could hit a long ways. Yeah, I mean, he's got a, whatever it is that's, you know, wrong with his swing and approach, he's got to figure it out so he can cut down on it where it's respectable, if that makes sense. I don't know if it's ever going to be respectable.
I know what you're saying, yep.
It's embarrassing now. But I, you know, I maybe it's the spring optimism in the air, but I do think like Garver and Kepler, I think they're going to bounce back. Here's the question, Judd. Left field, do they have the guts to put Kirilloff out there, or are they going to do a service time and put Arise out there to start with?
If you put a gun to my head right now, I would say that Alex Kirilloff will play the first 15 games in St. Paul, Minnesota, not in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I would be willing to bet with you, too.
But here's the one fly in the ointment that if I was the Twins brass and sat down to make this call, the one fly in the ointment that I would broach in talking about this is I'm pretty certain that when we do get a new CBA eventually here, which is going to, I think, come after a long layoff, I should say.
Sure.
I think that this rule, because it's so stupid, is going to be wiped out. So I don't know
the
that
the time rule.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it should be.
How it's done.
Did you see the Seattle GM or whatever the guy got canned the other day?
Oh, yeah. He ran the team. Yeah. The president, I mean, basically.
Everybody knows that they do that, but it's just like, it's funny to hear, you know, a judge come out and say, yeah, that's what we did it.
Yeah. No, I did. But I think that the service time rules are going to change. And so I don't know that if you keep Kirilloff down for the first 15 games, that's going to come back to help you on the back end when you would maintain control of him in what, year six or seven?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I would always, and I'm not in position, but I would stop worrying about, you know, so many years down the line. We've already seen so much can change.
Yes.
You know, that you get paralyzed by, oh my God, we got to have this extra year. Well, you may not want the extra year. You know, I mean, and if he's really good, give him the contract then. So but it's, you know, it's easy for me to see. I know why teams do it, but hey, has Buxton talked at spring training yet?
I don't think he.
I'm curious, has it come up to that last game and what the hell happened?
Oh, there? I don't think he's talked yet. And I know that he. I saw reports he showed up with 12 or 13 more pounds added, which he had added, if I'm not mistaken, going into spring training last year, some weight as well to try and combat being hurt. It didn't help, but I don't think he's talked yet. And I have definitely not seen quotes about that last game and him being put into pinch run and then ultimately being picked off when it was just crystal clear that he was still having concussion problems.
And yeah, because he didn't start, right? And then they brought him into run. And
they put him into run and he got picked off and he had glasses on and it was as plain as day that something was not right with him.
But really, the quotes were really cryptic and weird. Like, we're not going to get into it other than he said he didn't feel right when he showed up at the park.
Yes.
Or something was wrong. Or he couldn't play. But
yes.
Like, what was that about, you know?
Well, yeah, because he
assumed it was lingering concussion. But when did he had suffered that win.
I believe it was the Friday. So those games were like Tuesday, Wednesday, correct?
And the weekend before, right?
And they were playing the Reds on Friday night, and if I'm not mistaken, he got hit in the head with a pitch the same night that Donaldson left again because of a calf problem.
Okay.
So that was all. I think it all transpired on that Friday against the Reds. And then if I'm correct, they played through Sunday, took Monday off, and played Tuesday, Wednesday, I think.
And so that was his. I mean, he had the concussion when he was in the minors and had the conclusion.
Yeah.
And then that one. Has he had other documented ones?
He said that he had a few in high school playing football in Georgia.
Okay. But that was his second documented one in pro baseball.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
At least. Because, he's collided with walls as well.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, that whole thing was very, very weird.
And it was odd the way it was just framed by the team, you know.
And he came out in sunglasses, if you recall, Chip. And it was just, the whole thing was weird. But, I mean, he is, again, and it's such a big if, you feel stupid talking about it. But if he can stay healthy and play, let's say, 140 games, you know, because the problem, too, God bless him. He works hard. He tries hard. But if he's not playing and Jake Cave is starting, that is a downgrade in numerous areas.
Well, Judd, when he's healthy, he's your best player, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean,
offense, defense.
If he's playing, he changes everything about the game on both sides, on offense and defense. He changes things.
Yeah, and just, you know, the pressure he puts on it when he gets on first or second. I mean, just the way you have to pitch, play defense, the guys behind him.
Yeah.
Because of his speed. So, I mean, he's their absolute game changer in terms of complete player. But, yeah, I mean, I think if you're a Twins, you go into it saying, okay, if we can get 100 games, we'll win with that. Which is – it's going to be fascinating when his contract is up, those negotiations, right?
Yes, it's going to be very intriguing.
I would say – I don't know if the leverage is 50-50 on that one, but the team, I absolutely have some leverage in terms of holding the price down, and he has leverage that, hey, when I'm healthy, I'm great, you know. It'll be fascinating to see how they...
But can you pay him? Like, I mean, with if he can't...
I don't know.
If he continues to get hurt, I don't think you can pay him.
Well, what are you going to do, though? You gotta give him a contract. I mean...
Well, right, but it has to be close to your terms, then. I'm saying if he continues to get hurt, because he's
going to, you know, his side is going to look at it completely different.
I know they will. But I mean, this is a man last year in a scrimmage at Target Field in July who almost broke his ankle.
I know.
Like he
know.
Finds way. Look, he works his butt off. I think he cares deeply about baseball. I think he is a good guy in the clubhouse. Like all of those things he has going for him. But have you ever seen a baseball player who has the ability to get hurt like he does?
No. And it is. It comes down to availability. And that was the whole thing, you know, when he kept crashing the wall to get hurt. And I wrote a comment like, well, you can't just tell Byron Buxton to not go after a ball. I mean, it's just in a split second, you can't do it.
Right.
And I forgot who I talked to, but it was a former player. I can't. But they said, you know what'll make him stop? That contract. Because when you see yourself start losing money because you're not available, that'll get your attention, you know?
Yep. But the problem is, Chip, so that appeared to be the problem, right? Like, quit running into fences, quit climbing them, and the Twins worked with him on that. He, I think, worked on that. And then, again, to my point, you're in, like, some type of scrimmage, and he almost breaks his ankle in the outfield.
Yeah,
it's become
like you get hit in the head with a pitch. It's like, well, that's not his fault.
Like if everything was the fence, I would continue to say, quit running into the damn fence. but it's not. It's so much beyond that now. It's he gets hit in the head.
Yeah,
four days before the playoffs start.
Yeah, it's some of it's dumb.
I feel bad for him.
Some of it's just the way he played. Some of it's time. I mean, But you're right. Yeah, I think it's going to be fascinating to see who they, because, you know, when you're doing contracts, you always compare yourself to someone else. You're, you know, whoever has set the bar. I don't, his is going to be so unique because of his injuries that I don't think you can compare to another player that, you know, whatever your benchmark is that you're trying to get. I don't think that's possible with him.
Yeah. Last thing for you. How about them Wild, huh? How about the Colorado Avalanche? 6-2 Take that, Avs.
Are we buying? Are we all in yet? This team's legit. I think we said that, you know, it wasn't going to be hard for them to make, or it's realistic that they could maybe not win their division, but be, you know, one of the top four seeds.
Yes.
Which is probably still going to play out over the course of the season, but are they better than you thought they were going to be because of their lack of centers, that they're making it, you know, they're figuring out ways to do it?
The restructured lines that they came back with after the pandemic have impressed me, and the difference is very simple to me, though, Chip. They've got a superstar. Kaprizov is a superstar. I mean,
Kapil is playing good, too.
Oh, he is. But Kaprizov can control things. And you know, think about this. 20 years of the Wild franchise, right? And Gabrick was a great player. And Gabrick, at his best, was a star. But beyond that, this team hasn't had anybody close to this kid.
Jed, I didn't watch the game last night, but I saw the highlight of him skating circles on that shift.
Yeah.
What in the world was that? You never see that.
And he should have shot, and the head coach said exactly that. But as a fan, it was so much damn fun to watch.
It was unbelievable. He made like two full circles of the...
Yes. Yes, he made two full circles, and he should have shot. But the fact is, he can do things that we have not seen in this town from a Wild player in years, and maybe ever.
What's his best skill? Like, what makes him so good? Just his instincts and feel for the game?
Yes. I think that's exactly right.
He's really fast, right? Obviously, he's
got... Oh, yeah. But I think you hit it. I think his best skill is a feel for the game itself and the ability, and this is the toughest thing, the ability to control the flow of what's going on the ice when he is on it. And, I mean, the majority of guys do not have this. Like, the majority of guys go with the flow that's being set by players. Kaprizov changes that dynamic completely, and like a point guard, a great one, controls the flow of the game itself. And, like, he makes things look simple and easy that simply are incredibly difficult. Place.
Yeah, he makes them look. You know what stinks, Judd, is, we get to watch him on TV, and that's cool and everything, but Wild fans have sat through years and years of boring hockey, and you finally get this superstar. I mean, could you imagine, like, if that place was filled now, what percentage of people would be wearing Kaprizov jerseys?
Oh, I'd be trading my Parisi, my Dubnyk, my Zucker, my Suter. I'd be trading it in to get 90.
My Pascal Dupuis.
Get 20 and Suter off the back of this thing and get me a Kaprizov. Get me a 97 right now.
Yeah, he's so fun. And, you know, that's what we said, Judd, though, with him and Fiala. This is the first time you have honest to goodness two. Legitimate scores.
Yes.
And I would say they've had so few in their history. But that's the thing. It's like, and now, you know, if it sounds like the farm system is getting rebuilt too. And, you know, they've got some, hopeful guys down there too. So maybe they're onto something here.
It's all coming together, Chip Scoggins. You know? It's all coming together. And here's the thing that I absolutely...
Thank God for Fenton, huh?
I was going to say, look at... Dex and I did a deep dive on our hockey show on Tuesday into this. Look at what Fenton... I mean, as much as, you know, he might have been a bad people skills guy. Rask is playing well now, right?
Yeah, what do you make of that one? Just comfort level?
He's playing with Kaprizov, which helps him a ton.
Better players, yeah.
But you know what? He's playing well. Give him credit. Yeah. Zuccarello is out of his mind crazy playing good. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Fenton guy, right? Like, look at the guy. Look at Fiala. Fiala, he drafted Boldy. I mean, look at what's coming together now. Yeah, he drafted Boldy. We all said that they should have taken Cole Caulfield from Wisconsin. He drafted Boldy. Boldy looks great. You're right. Thank God for Paul Fenton. Whoever thought that we would say thank God for that? You hit it.
It's fun. It's fun. I mean, I want to see. And I guess the reassuring thing is you didn't know what the heck was going to happen coming off the COVID layoff. And, you know, was that going to really?
They've looked way better.
Yeah, hell, maybe.
They lost that first game 1-4 in a row.
Maybe,
Well, they got the lines right now. They've got the lines right now, and they didn't previously. That's a huge part of it.
Sure.
All right, sir. I will talk to you next week. Chip Scoggins, appreciate it as always. All right.
See ya.
Take care. Bye.